Pleasure to be here. As you alluded to, CARE focuses on poverty alleviation, but really women and girls are at the heart of CARE's community-based efforts to improve basic education, prevent the spread of infectious disease. We help with WASH programs, sanitation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the project I'm going to speak to you about today is called EMPHASIS, and that stands for, because we love acronyms, we're in public health, Enhancing Mobile Populations Access to Health and HIV/AIDS Services. Really, the crux of this project and what we aim to do is reduce the vulnerability of key mobile populations to HIV/AIDS along two specific high mobility routes, coming from Bangladesh and Nepal into India. And we are delivering a very focused set of interventions at source, transit, and destination points. So what I'm going to be speaking on today is we did a lot of baseline formative research, and then we're now implementing the project. And I have nothing to disclose. So our story really begins with migration in South Asia, and this isn't a new story. This has been going on for a long time, and really the tremendous risks that individuals take to earn a livelihood. People are moving out of Bangladesh and Nepal due to poverty and high unemployment, political instability, and really the demand from labor from India's growing economy. They're really headed to three cities, Mumbai, Delhi, and Calcutta. And the mobility and the need to move for work is necessary for the economic survival of families, both in urban and rural communities in Nepal and Bangladesh. And really what these folks are up against are many, many, many hurdles. Many of them are illiterate. They lack basic information on HIV/AIDS, on top of course, the denial and stigma and discrimination that surrounds the issue. Migrants from Bangladesh and Nepal usually tend to stay in India for 2 to 5 years, and really their objective is to make money so they can bring it back home. Female migrants tend to work as housemaids, cleaners, factory workers, bar girls, and sex workers. Males tend to work as transportation workers, construction workers, in the brick fields and in the factories. Unfortunately, many of the migrants' dreams never come true of making big riches and taking them home, and they get harassed a lot. Unfortunately, they get abandoned by their families, they get divorced, they end up losing all their earnings at borders because of the security forces takes the money, and unfortunately, many become infected with HIV or unable to maintain their ART regimen when they're there. So they take lots of chances. So the story continues with the rise of HIV in the region, and this is also not a new phenomenon. As you can see, the number of people living with HIV that UNAIDS has estimated in each of the three countries up on the slide. Bangladesh is still a low HIV prevalence country in South Asia, but it's growing. So really, this region right here has 2 to 3.5 million of the estimated 33.3 million people living with HIV worldwide. And like other regions in the world, HIV is concentrated amongst specific most at-risk groups, including sex workers, injecting drug users, men who have sex with men, and increasingly now migrants. And so what's going on here is that these folks moving in and out of Mumbai, Delhi, and Calcutta are creating a natural bridge for the disease. And indeed, this is a very complex issue. I call it the perfect storm. It's our Sandy here. Low levels of literacy, porous borders, trafficking of women and girls into prostitution, high stigma, male resistance to condom use, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these folks face a lot of violence in doing what they do, going in and out. They harassment, discrimination, bribery, threats, name-calling, stigma, exclusion, exploitation, physical violence. You name it, they face it. This happens during their journeys. It happens at destination points. It happens when they go home. And all this is really affected by gender and community of origin and the process of recruitment to migration. Now, Nepal and India have the Friendship Act. So the folks from Nepal don't have quite as many problems as the folks from Bangladesh. Still lots of problems, though. But the folks from Bangladesh actually have to encounter transporters. And Bangladeshi citizens moving through the informal channels to India are especially vulnerable because they're undocumented and illegal. In a recent report, it's noted that 347 Bangladeshis have been killed by Indian forces along the 4,000-kilometer border since 2006. And it's a little disturbing because these folks, they just kill them. Just to put it out there bluntly. They also face a lot of discrimination from landlords, and sometimes they face a lot of verbal abuse too. Their slums are often raided, and they have to pay regular bribes to the police or local thugs just to live in peace. And of course, there's language barriers that form exclusion and lead to a lot of discrimination, harassment, and a lot of, especially Bangladeshis, are unwilling to disclose their identity because they'll get sent back. So women in particular face serious dangers, more so than men. They're stigmatized and really face a lot of issues when they go back home in particular, because even if they went and worked and as a housemaid and never had, you know, relations, sexual relations, they often come home and they're faced with discrimination at home. Men, on the other hand, they feel proud that they were able to go work in India, and often share that, you know, information when they get home. So the healthcare issue is a big one, and this is one of the things that our project works on, is really working with providers because of the stigma and everything around HIV. Of course, our folks get discriminated even in healthcare centers, and so a lot of them then, of course, turn to quacks, people who have absolutely no training. There's traditional healers, and there's other folks that they can turn to, but they, without the documentation, they have a real hard time getting access to their ART, unless, of course, they have their mobility card, and then that is hard to get. So really, mobility causes separation from spouses and families and familiar social and cultural norms. Migrants suffer from language barriers, substandard living conditions, exploitive working conditions, including sexual violence. And this all results into a lot of isolation and stress, and it leads the mobile population to engage in unsafe behaviors, which, of course, increase HIV risk. So if any of you work in this field, you know there's many challenges, and as you can see, I just named a whole bunch of them. And so we, on this project, which is a five-year initiative funded by the Big Lottery Fund. That's the largest distributor of national lottery good cause funding in the UK. And we have lots of partners on the ground. It's not just CARE, as we have a lot of community-based organizations that we work with, and actually a growing, it's one of our key strategies is to work with as many community-based organizations as possible. This really is a groundbreaking regional intervention. We're pilot testing this cross-border approach just to see if it's going to work. And our interventions are delivered at source, transit, and destination. So we do focus on some high-risk groups, the commercial sex workers, IDUs, MSMs, that form these bridge populations. But we also just focus our efforts on good old folks going out and trying to get a job. Our key interventions are really along the length of the mobility continuum. We are testing, like I said, a model for cross-border services so that government partners and CBOs have an improved system when we leave. We are trying to build knowledge so that folks on the ground have improved capacity to advise target groups. We're building the capacity of our partners, and we're generating a lot of evidence out of this so that we can help influence policy and at folks doing the advocacy work. We work across multiple levels. Since it's such a complex problem, and we're really trying to create an enabling environment, we come at it in all directions. Reaching out to migrants on the border is often difficult. They want to get out of the border regions as quickly as possible and get into these cities. So we have to do a lot of things. We have created a safe mobility package that also includes ways for these folks to obtain identity cards in India. We are focusing a lot of efforts with spouses of migrants to increase their level of confidence to negotiate inter-household relations, where we have a directory of services, we have women's support groups. For the first time ever, our project has helped the government of Bangladesh set up VCT centers so that folks can get counseling and testing and access to drugs. We've created watchdog groups at borders. We've sensitized border personnel. We have migrant solidarity groups going on. We have drop-in centers. They weren't working so well being stationed in one area because of the stigma and everything else, and people can't get time off from work. So we actually have their guys on bicycles that have boxes with different things in it, and they go to a new place every day, 5, 6, 7 hours, and typically get anywhere from 35 to 40 people stopping in to get information and whatnot from them, and that's been really successful. One of our major things that we really work on is policy and advocacy, and you can see here on this slide our top advocacy issues. This is crucial if we're going to cease the violence at source, transit, and destination points. We've created advocacy for guidelines on protocol and how to referral. Transfer or regional linkages between source and destination. We have advocacy for care and support services, and of course advocacy for trying to get these friendly health centers for our folks to go to. The other big thing that we do is a lot of research, as I said. So we are in the process. The one in blue, we actually just completed that one, and the other five research areas we are in process of doing. We'll have papers coming out here. And so I'm just going to go. So really the summary of the emerging lessons is that because it's such a complex issue, we really have to work across multiple levels. We're working with women's networks, et cetera, et cetera. We keep trying new things to see how we can really reach our folks the best way. And one of the things that we've discovered is we really have to reach them before they even leave home, because they need to know what they're getting themselves into. So I told you I was going to speed through. So if any of you are doing this kind of work, I'd love to talk to you about your experiences. So see me after. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.